fellow travelers, and welcome to Adventures in Security, episode 32 for July 1st, 2006. I'm your host, Tom Olzak. This is a weekly podcast published each weekend. You can find the information covered in our episodes at blogs.ittoolbox.com/security/adventures. If you're interested in commenting on what you hear or about topics you'd like us to talk about, please send email to podcasts@adventuresinsecurity.com. This is the third in a 12-episode series in which we look at web application security. I'm using the OWASP Top 10 list as the basis for the series, in which we'll look at the challenges facing organizations that are increasing their use of web technologies, the top 10 vulnerabilities typically found in those organizations, and ways to manage the resulting risk. This week's episode covers the second of the top 10 vulnerabilities, broken access controls. But before we get to that topic, I'd like to pull out the old soapbox and comment on something that's been challenging me over the last several months, and that is learning to compromise and not manage security like I used to manage my network engineering and programming teams. 10 months ago, when I was asked to build our company's first real security team, I believed that running security was no different from running the programming and network engineering teams I'd managed for so many years. You know, something needs to get done, you plan, you execute, and you move on to the next project or service recovery task. That was then, but today I have a whole new perspective. Security tasks are not viewed in quite the same way as restoring a broken server, optimizing a core switch, or developing a new HR management interface. Instead, security requests for development or infrastructure services is typically seen as something that has to be done when we get to it just before the auditors come back priority. This is better than the old ignore it and maybe it'll go away attitude, but we still have a long way to go. One hurdle I've crossed is trying to get the engineers and developers to create the network and interaction diagrams I need to complete risk and threat analyses. I used to beg and plead for documentation. Since I also control the change management process, I frequently had to hold up implementation activities while engineers and programmers rushed to get together adequate pictures of the new or upgraded solutions. Needless to say, this caused suffering, frustration, and a lot of interesting comments about the actual value of a real security team. So I had two choices. I could continue the battle, but even if I won, security would suffer as it tried to take its place as an integral part of IS. Or I could compromise. You can tell by the return to relative peace and tranquility on the IS floors that I chose the latter course. Today, my analysts and I meet with the technical teams early in the project lifecycle. We're part of the design team that puts the people, process, and technology pieces together to arrive at an outcome that meets the expectations of both the business users and the auditors. As the design takes shape, the assigned security analyst creates the necessary diagrams to complete the risk and threat analyses that are part of the security review of the final design. Everybody's happy, and I don't have to wield the change management hammer. This isn't the only compromise I've made. The details of those compromises aren't important. What is important is that I believe security managers should realize that stepping up to perform key project tasks related to security outcomes will go a long way toward obtaining department collaboration and on-time solution delivery. Yes, even if you believe that it's somebody else's job. What it comes down to is achieving effective security outcomes to protect the interests of the company, as well as its customers, employees, and shareholders. If that means changing the way security managers view divisions of labor within IS, so be it. Okay, that's enough pontificating for today, so let's move on to our topic, which is web application security, specifically the vulnerability of broken access controls. Access control is a fundamental safeguard in your efforts to protect sensitive or critical information resources. However, unvalidated input, which was covered in last week's episode, and other weaknesses in your web application can allow an attacker to bypass access control mechanisms. In this episode, I examine four aspects of the broken access control vulnerability: client-side caching, file permissions, path or directory traversal, yeah, that's easy to say, and predictable resource location. In client-side caching, an internet browser saves a copy of files, images, and other information it receives. The areas in which this information is stored is located on the workstation's local hard drive, in a cache. There are two reasons to cache content. First, caching improves performance. If the information a user requests has not changed since the last time it was accessed, the browser pulls it from the cache instead of retrieving it across the internet connection. Second, retrieval of information from a local cache reduces the traffic over the internet circuit. This often results in less cost to the internet provider. Caching is normally not an issue when it occurs on a company workstation. The workstation is typically assigned to a user instead of providing public access to cached data. However, access to sensitive information from a kiosk or other public system presents a serious security risk. Since the cached information on the public system is not deleted when a session is ended, any subsequent user can potentially retrieve it. Caching information on company workstations can be an issue if adequate physical and logical safeguards don't exist to protect them. In such cases, they also become a source from which an attacker can obtain sensitive data. Locally stored information might also inadvertently back up to tape or other media as part of the standard backup processes. When this happens, the tapes on which this data resides might not be considered to contain critical, restricted, confidential data, and that data may not be properly protected. The best way to prevent local caching in high-risk environments is to not deliver sensitive information when requested from a public or other high-risk workstation. Another way to mitigate this vulnerability is to turn off client-side caching. There are two methods to accomplish this. First, developers can include the No Store page header tag in all pages containing sensitive information. The intent of this tag is to prevent any information from the tagged page from being cached locally. However, care should be taken to ensure that the browsers most likely to be used to view the affected pages support No Store. The second method involves configuration of browsers over which you have control and which might not support the No Store tag. In other words, browsers that don't fully support HTTP 1.1. This involves getting or setting the browsers not to cache. Configuring the browser is not always effective. For example, versions of IE that don't support HTTP 1.1 may only prevent caching over an HTTPS connection when configured not to cache. The next subcategory under broken access controls is file permissions. Successful attacks against two of the four vulnerabilities, directory traversal and predictable resource locator, are dependent in large part on weak file permissions. This is true for hidden as well as visible content. There are some who believe that security through obscurity is a good safeguard. I tend to disagree. It's common for attacks against web applications to use techniques to browse the folder structure of the host server looking for anything of value. To an attacker, value might be measured in actual financial gain or by how the information discovered can be used for technical or social engineering attacks against the target company. Here are some tips from locking down files. First, any pages that provide sensitive information should not be stored in the public area of the accessed site. Second, your network engineers should ensure that authentication is necessary to access any content that is not meant for release to the public. And finally, access that is granted to both sensitive and public content should allow read-only permission. This prevents internal as well as external attackers from manipulating scripts or other access mechanisms that can then be used to either access additional information or to launch an attack against the rest of your network. One of the ways by which an attacker might attempt to gain access to your files is directory traversal. Directory traversal techniques are used to access files, directories, and applications that live outside the web application root directory. In this type of attack, special character sequences are used to navigate the host server's directory structure. Most popular web server systems prevent this type of attack. However, unvalidated input is still an open door in many organizations for moving from authorized to unauthorized data stores. The next subcategory is predictable resource location, or PRL. PRL is an attack method during which resources not normally viewable by web apps are located and compromised, where directory traversal usually follows a guess, look, guess again, look approach. PRL attacks are based on knowledge about how systems are configured by default. The target files are often hidden within the website root folder or in the application folder. For example, searches for folders named admin, backup, and logs are common. These are common web server directories containing known file types with specific kinds of content. Again, input validation is your first line of defense, followed by a strong file and directory permission setting. Broken access control is a serious vulnerability in many organizations. The four potential attacks I describe in this episode do not comprise a complete list of possible attack vectors. However, the basic safeguards are the same. First, protect against an access control attack by validating all input into your web application environment. Second, strengthen folder and file security as a second line of defense. Finally, consider prohibiting the delivery of sensitive information to public workstations and turning off client-side caching on assigned desktop and laptop systems where appropriate. Outside of these three security control activities, continue to raise developer and network engineer awareness so they're always asking the right questions when implementing new or upgraded web environments. Well, that's it for this week. And before we go, I'd like to remind you to check out my book at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and it's popping up all over at other online booksellers. And tell me what you think. And until next time, be careful what you click.